Hare Krishna, I want to welcome you for this Japa seminar, which hopefully will inspire us to improve on our most important spiritual practice, that is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I think we remember that Srila Prabhupada said, from all the instructions which he has given to improve this chanting, is the very most important instruction, so to say. So we hope to help you today to do this, and I hope it will be interesting. If everything works the way we have planned it, you will become good chanters after you leave the seminar. The Adi Purana describes this about the chanting of the holy name. There is no vow like chanting the holy name, no knowledge superior to it, no meditation which comes anywhere near it, and it gives the highest result. No penance is equal to it, and nothing is as potent or powerful as the holy name. Chanting is the greatest act of piety and the supreme refuge. Even the words of the Vedas do not possess sufficient power to describe its magnitude. Chanting is the highest path to liberation, peace, and eternal life. It is the pinnacle of devotion, the heart's joyous proclivity and attraction, and the best form of remembrance of the Supreme Lord. The holy name has appeared solely for the benefit of the living entities as their Lord and Master, the supreme worshipful object, and their spiritual guide and mentor. Whoever continuously chants Lord Krishna's holy name, even in his sleep, can easily realize that the name is a direct manifestation of Krishna himself, in spite of the influences of Kali Yuga. I think when we hear such verses in glorification of the holy name, we become very inspired to look a little bit deeper into our spiritual practice. When we hear such glorification of a realized chanter, we might also feel a little sad. Why do I not realize it? Why is my chanting still at a level where I do not see directly how the name is the manifestation of Krishna? Such glorifications of the holy name are meant to inspire us, but also to question our own practice and see if there's something which we can still improve. The holy name is a direct way to be together with Krishna even while here in the material world, for it is Krishna himself. I think we all have heard how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left his associates in Navadvip. It was a great tragedy for the devotees. When he mentioned the first time something that he would of his plan to take sannyas and leave the devotees, a few only understood, but they were heartbroken. The last evening which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent together with the devotees was a very moving scene. They gave garlands around the Lord. They put sandalwood wood on his face. Lord Chaitanya, who knew that next morning he would leave Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya felt very moved in his heart. He also had brought garlands, and he brought a garland to each one of his devotees and hung it around their heads. He did not tell them that he would take sannyas, because he knew they would not be able to tolerate his absence. But on the evening, he made them promise something. The Lord knew he would leave Navadvip, but he made them, his devotees, promise to do something which would always make sure that the devotees would be together with Krishna. It's from the Chaitanya Bhagavat, and I will read you what Lord Chaitanya spoke on this fateful evening at the bank of the Ganga, to prepare his devotees to be always together with him. He said, "I myself spoke this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is the most effective means of bringing divine benefit to the lives of the jiva souls. Go home." We are just starting our seminar. Stay here. But go home, Lord Chaitanya said, and chant this holy mantram with all devotion. Everyone will attain all perfection by the grace of this magnanimous mantra. Therefore, chant and remember it all the time, regardless of any rules and regulations. This was the last instruction which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to his Navadvip devotees. You can go now, he said to them, keeping in mind that he would leave them the next morning. But you please keep on chanting this Maha Mantra, which brings all divine benefit. He told other devotees, Mother Sachi, that Mother Sachi, you can always be together with me if you worship the form and if you chant the holy name. This holy name is really the means for the devotee to feel the Lord's presence even while he is in the material world. I want to tell you what the holy name means. Two meanings here. And then we will soon go into the practice. But this was the first point I wanted to make. You can be together with Krishna. This is why we chant. The meaning of the holy name is very nicely expressed in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. There it said, the first Hari means Radharani. O Radhe, having captured my mind, please free me from material bondage. That's the meaning of Hari. Radharani, you have captured my mind? It's now on the syllable Hari. Please free me from material bondage. Then comes Krishna. O Krishna, please attract my mind by pulling it to you. I think we should say this together because it's so nice. O Krishna, please attract my mind by pulling it to you. O Radhe, capture my heart by showing me your unsurpassed sweetness. O Krishna, please purify my mind with knowledge about devotional service given by your pure devotee. Now comes something very important. O Krishna, give me steadiness to appreciate your transcendental name, form, qualities and pastimes. O Krishna, may I develop a taste for serving you. O Radhe, please make me qualified for your service. O Radhe, please make me able to relish your transcendental name, form, qualities and pastimes. Then there is a second half of this, the meaning of the Maha Mantra, but this second half will for now remain a secret to you. If you wish, you can read it in this book on page number 152. What I wanted to say is that in the Hare Krishna Mantra, in an unfolded way, we find a lot of spiritual secrets. See, mantras have something very deep in them, a present, but it's unfolded, or it's not unfolded, folded, yes. And by chanting it properly, the mantra will unfold its secret, and you can take part in the secret. So, in the Hare Krishna mantra, there are all these different meanings included, and as you chant, you will unfold the meaning for yourself, and you will pray for knowledge given by the pure devotee about Krishna. You will pray that, oh, please attract my mind by your unsurpassed qualities, and so on. But the way to unfold all these meanings, which will reveal themselves to you, is to meditate deeply about the primary meaning which your spiritual master has given to you. The meaning which Prabhupada gave of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is a summary of all these prayers which we have heard from the Hari Bhakti Vilas. He says like this, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna means addressing them. O my Lord, O my Lord's energy. So when you address somebody, you want to ask for something. So if they reply, yes, why you are calling? Then we are calling. Please engage me in your service. This is the prayer. So a devotee, when chanting the holy name, should lovingly, this is how it is expressed, start to meditate about the meaning of the holy name. My dear Radharani, my dear Krishna, Hare means Radharani, my dear Krishna, please engage me in your service. Now, I have spoken with some devotees and they say, oh, I'm doing already so much service. I really do not want to do more. I need some free time. I don't know if this is the right prayer for me, really. I have heard devotees saying this, because service sometimes, especially when you have a lot to do, is a word which brings certain reactions to the ground. If you ask a devotee, if I'm asking, you know, my dear Manu, please, can you do some service? You go like, well, I'm not sure. Tell me what it is. You are, yes, Hare Krishna. Or if I'm asking, you know, so-and-so, can you please do some service? Oh, I'm doing already so much. See, this prayer for devotional service, I feel it's important to speak about this so that we can really mean it and pray it. It's nothing else than the honest prayer to be reinstated in one's original position as a liberated servitor of the Supreme Lord. It's a prayer to be accepted, really. Again, in the transcendental family of the Lord, it is a prayer for, yes, acceptance. Please take me. Please accept me. This is the mood in which a devotee begins to pray. It's not a prayer for activity, you know, please give me more activity. He wants to be accepted in the position of an eternal servant. And yes, that position is one of joyful service. A very good way to do your japa, a very good rule to do your japa, is to choose a good place where you can do your japa. It should be in an environment which is free from disturbance. I do not know if you have this in Radha Desh, but in Goloka Dham, we have our Prajalpa couch. It was it is the same couch which was in our Center for Vedic Studies, only it has a different cushion, but it is still the same structure. It is right before the temple room. It's a place of meeting. The whole universe has sat on the Prajalpa couch already. It is something which you find in every temple, a place of socializing. I personally feel it is necessary to have a meeting place where one can also socialize. But when it comes to chanting japa, we should not be in the socializing mood. We should be in the mood of looking for a direct connection to the Lord. So a disturbance-free place is always good. A sincere japa chanter will also look for the right time. A very good time are the morning hours, where the mode of goodness is still prevalent. And the best of the morning hours, or the best time of the morning hours, is the Brahma Muhuta time. He will have a place and a time, but more than anything else, and that's why I want to talk about this, is that he must have a proper mood, an inner attitude. The place and the time, as we hear from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is not really so important as there is the inner mood. The inner mood is very nicely expressed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his 8 prayers, especially in the prayer number 5. Ayinanda Tanuya, my dear Lord, somehow I have fallen into this ocean of birth and death. Please take me and bring me to your lotus feet. Prabhupada was addressing this mood in a very nice way. We are addressing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, O the energy of the Lord, O the Lord, please accept me. That's all. Please accept me. We have no other prayer. Please accept me. Lord Chaitanya taught that we should simply cry and we shall simply pray for accepting us. That's all. So this vibration is simply a cry for addressing the Supreme Lord, requesting him, please accept me. Please accept me. This is the mood. Only when you pray like this or chant like this, with full concentration, please accept me. If this mood is there, Krishna will hear you. Just the other day, I had a very interesting realization of this. I was talking to a mother in Goloka Dham, and she was complaining to me that, oh, these devotees, this mother is in charge of the garbage department, and she makes sure that the organic garbage goes to the organic garbage place and the unorganic garbage to the unorganic place. But she's desperate because devotees do not care where their garbage goes and often are very cruel towards the environment. And she was so, you know, oh Maharaj, you must say something. And I said, please, my dear mother, it's not the garbage what we have to address. It's the consciousness of the devotees. They must become a little bit more conscious. We are trying to preach since 30 years now, but it is not easy. So it was a very involved discussion. And all of a sudden she said, sorry. I said, well, why? What happened? And he said, I can't explain. And then when she opened the door and she looked to me, my child is crying, don't you hear it? And then she was up and taking care of the child. In the midst of the conversation, something had happened. She was very involved in the garbage, thinking about it. But all of a sudden, she heard a very urgent cry, the cry of the child, which I could not hear because I don't have the sensor for this. We talked and I was fully there and she was fully there, and then all of a sudden she heard some specific cry. If it wouldn't have been the urgent cry, but just some she would not have come. But it was some and therefore she had to come. The same way Krishna. When Krishna hears, Krishna is very much engaged in so many activities. If Krishna hears us chanting with an urgent appeal, please accept me, then Krishna will listen to us. But if it's just Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare Hare, Krishna will not hear this. Only just like an ordinary mother or special mother, however you want, hears only the cry of her child for many hundreds of meters if it has the urgency. In the same way, Krishna only hears the devotees when they chant in an urgent and concentrated way. The quality of sound, there is a quality to sound, and I want you all now to make a little experience on this. We have taken a few sound samples. Some of these samples will shock you, unfortunately. I was also shocked in picking them out. I was assisted by a team of well-wishers who have found this out. But I want to ask you, don't look with acceptance and rejectance on the sound. Just become a scientist of the sound and see what it does in your consciousness. Don't forget the reason why we do this experiment. Our reason is that we want to give an example and make it understandable that our chanting must have a certain quality of the sound. Our little children, you will now enter the material world for only two samples. After this, we will lift you up beyond the world. Okay? So you do not, it must also be a little loud so that you can hear. No reason to like it or dislike it. It's just a phenomena, and we want to now study the quality of sound. Okay? No, this is a transcendental sound. The first example. Oh, this is why this is not very unprofessional. When the sound comes, you should have put it on. Anyways, I will talk a little until you're ready. I must see that you have all the examples ready. Krishna, it's all right. This sound was... what is your analysis? It is... We wanted to use this sound, but our team is so, the Hare Krishna team, like, the sound is the sound of the mode of ignorance, which is in relationship to destruction. And you can see our devotee has to repair the loudspeaker, which was falling of its original position. So we will have now another example of sound. Hare Krishna, can you imagine the mode which was here? Passion, yes. This music is very, let me say, it was a rock and roll music, and you used to dance twist at that time, passionately shaking your body, and it is also a very sexually motivated music. The singer sings "woo hoo hoo," and the effect is what it is. You know what this example was? It was a music in the mode of goodness. May I ask you, when you were trying to analyze what it did into your heart, how would you comment? What happened in your heart? Yeah.
This last song brings bitter thoughts.
Different?
Bitter thoughts.
Deeper thoughts. Yes.
Makes me become more peaceful.
Makes me become more peaceful.
Mm-hmm. It feels like it's addressing something of the hankering of the soul.
It seems to be addressing the hankering of the soul.
Mm-hmm. Sense gratification.
It still seems sense gratification. Mm-hmm. Yes. This is a mode of goodness, and in the mode of goodness, knowledge prevails. Peace prevails, and one becomes more reflective. And I think we could hear this. The first music was really not so intense, but the loudspeaker broke and fell down. It was the mode of destruction, the mode of ignorance. When you chant the holy name, it is good if you allow yourself to understand the different modes and which rule you, and you allow yourself to enter with full concentration into the lift of the holy name, which brings you up. A devotee who is not chanting with full attention and does not concentrate on the holy name fully, he will still remain in the modes, and he will also chant the holy name in the modes of nature, where the Lord will not reveal himself very much. This is a very important, that one allows the effect of the holy name, that one enters with deep concentration into the chanting of the holy name, so that we can be released from the grip of the modes of material nature. I have one last example for you, a transcendental chant.
Om Namo Narayanaya. 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 Om Namo Narayanaya.
I think you get the idea that sound has a certain inborn quality in it, and but in order to experience it, concentration is necessary. The scriptures give us an deep analysis. They say that if one chants the mantra by keeping the certain 10 offenses, one can chant for millions of years, millions of births, janma janma, the Krishna Das Kaviraj says, for many, many births, without ever having any change, because one has not really entered the lift of the mantra. This is my own expression. With the lift, I mean an instrument. You go into it, you choose the floor, second or third, and it will take you up there. In the same way, the Maha Mantra, if you enter it properly, can lift you to a transcendental floor or a transcendental platform. Here are seven effects, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, of the where you will arrive if you chant properly. Cheto darpana marjanam, it is said, the mirror of the heart is purified. What this means is that there are certain dust grains on our heart, and they are described to be desires separately from Krishna, material sense desires. Now, if you chant, if you enter the lift of the holy name, you will come on the platform where you really want to have not material desires, but you want to serve Krishna. Another effect is Bhava Maha Davakni Nivapanam. It is that the chanting extinguishes the sufferings of the blazing fire of material existence. Once there was a person who said, I don't see any fire around me. What is the fire of material existence? The fire of material existence are these miseries which one constantly can experience. Our celebrated organizer of this weekend experienced this misery in the body. All of a sudden it came. But much more heavy than miseries of the bodies are miseries of the mind which come, or miseries from other living entities. People who give you disturbance, and also miseries from outside influences. This is the fire we are speaking about. The chanting absolves a person from the fire of material life. Then, Shreya Kairava Chandika Vitaranam. It is described that inside of us, like in a lily flower, is some happiness, transcendental happiness residing. So just like a lily flower needs to be opened by the cooling rays of the moon. You know, the moon shines on top of it and it opens the lily. Also, a chanter of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will get the soothing sound of the vibration of the holy name and will open the flower or lily of happiness. Then there are other effects, which I will talk quickly. You will get spiritual knowledge. You get some transcendental bliss. And then you get even nectar, which is more than bliss. And finally, you are taking a bath in the that you are totally refreshed and you come out new. In a spiritual philosophy, taking a bath and coming out new is a theme which often happens. Narada Muni, for instance, enters into a part of Kusum Sarova and comes out in a transcendental body. Lord Shiva enters the lake Manasarova and comes out as a Gopeshwara, a new body. A devotee similarly can take a bath in the chanting of the holy name, a full refreshing bath, and emerge as a new personality if he chants without offenses. I would like to ask you a question now. What do you think? Is fire always igniting straw? Yes?
No.
No. When is fire not igniting straw?
When the straw is wet.
When the straw is what? Wet. In the same way that what I have just now explained, the effects of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, they do not take place always. They only take place when a devotee is dry. Dry from the offenses against the holy name. If he is wet, his chanting does not bring any benefit at all. So, I'm looking a little bit at the... I want to make now a little pause because I need to prepare the next session. But in that pause, it will be an active pause for you, at least the first minutes. I want you to please take a piece of paper and put four fields in it, like this. One line down, one line. In the first field, now please do it. You will have a realization about yourself. Everyone has a piece of paper. It is just our children need here. All right, are you ready? Good. No? Just make four fields, yes. And then the first field, in the front, please write, what is your favorite animal? The first association which comes to mind. Favorite animal. Is it a monkey or is it a... I don't want to say. And now please write underneath why you like this animal. What are the qualities of this animal? And yes, on the same here. Hare Krishna. The teachers can help you. No, what are the qualities? Why do you like a monkey? All right. We will now make a little pause of exactly 15 minutes. That makes it 10 minutes after 12. please do come, because you will see after some time, we needed to make three more such questions, you will see very amazing things, and you will ask yourself, what does my favorite animal have to do with the Japa workshop? You will see. It is... Okay, so we'll see you in 10 minutes. And please, we will start in time. You will be amazed how punctually we are. Hare Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. In the first session of our mantra workshop, we heard a little bit about the glorification of the holy name, and then we were trying to analyze the different effects of sound by exposing our own consciousness to different sounds in the modes of nature and also of transcendental sound. We have further listened a little bit about the eight effects which the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will have. But we have heard that these effects will only take place when we chant the holy name free from offenses. Just like straw will only burn when it's dry, in the same way a devotee will only feel the effect of the chanting of the holy name if he is free from the 10 offenses. We all know, I believe, the 10 offenses, but just for the record and the tape hearing in posterity, and we will just quickly go through the offenses. What is the first offense, please? Yes. When will our heart become full of love for the devotees? The second offense is to consider the names of the demigods equal with the name of Vishnu. Oh, when will we finally understand that Krishna is the source of all sources? The third offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. We can say, oh, when will we happily understand how important the spiritual master is in our lives, and voluntarily and with great enthusiasm follow his order. The fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literature. We can say, when will we get some taste in understanding the deep truths which are presented in the Vedas? And the fifth offense is to consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. And we can say, when will we develop deep faith in the immense potency which is invested by the Lord in the holy name? The sixth offense is to give some interpretation on the holy name. And we can say, when will we become interested to hear the different meanings which have been revealed by scripture and acharyas? The seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. What do you think would be a good antidote against this mood? Attentiveness. If you want to become free of sinful activities, yes, you can be attentive to the holy name. But I was thinking more that if we develop a deep taste in worshipping Krishna. The eighth offense is to consider chanting to be a ritualistic activity. When we chant the holy name, we should know it is glorification of Krishna. We don't want anything in return. If we want something in return, it's the salary of love. So, this is what the chanter wants, if at all. The ninth offense is to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. Yes, we should not go to an unfaithful person and talk too deep secrets about the holy name. But we can encourage him to chant the holy name, and then after some time he might be ready for further instructions. And the tenth offense is to maintain material attachment. I feel this is very, very important that a devotee begins to understand. I want to chant the holy name with full benefit, and these material attachments, they keep me, they hold me, they bind me, they imprison me, they don't allow me to be free for spiritual life. I better exchange them with spiritual attachments. So I want to now bring to your attention a little video which I have shown already last time when I was here in my seminar. It's a video which shows a different tradition than ours. It's about monks who live in Greek on an island where there is a big mountain. It's called Mountain Athos. These monks are very, very strict in their spiritual practice. They have really broken away from society. They are celibate. Yes, no woman is allowed to enter that island, not even a woman bird. I want to now bring to your attention a little video which I have shown already last time when I was here in my seminar. It's a video which shows a different tradition than ours. It's about monks who live in Greek on an island where there is a big mountain. It's called Mountain Athos. These monks are very, very strict in their spiritual practice. They have really broken away from society. They are celibate. Yes, no woman is allowed to enter that island, not even a woman bird. But I don't think they can control that. And they do a mantra process, mantra chanting of this mantra where they pray for the mercy of the Lord. And I think I will just play this video for you. You can watch it. And then afterwards, we will have a little discussion. It's in German, and I will translate it for you.
Wo die Liebe der Brüder über den Tod hinausgeht. Herr Jesus Christus gibt ihnen die ewige Ruhe.
He prays the people who have died get in peace. The mantra he chants is, "My dear Lord, please have mercy on me." One Christian saint says, "Don't say so many words. Don't divert your mind by looking for so many words. Just chant this mantra. If you eat or drink or work or whatever you do, you should say, Jesum Christum Kyrill is Eleison. In this way, the monk slowly goes to his God until he finally sees the God in everything, in whatever is, in the stone, in the water, whatever God does in this world, there you can find the God. With chanting this mantra, one goes through the veil of things, the external appearance of things, to come into the presence of God. Alone God is there. By chanting this mantra, the devotee or the monk is present as seeing the Lord everywhere.
Κύριε Ιησού Χριστέ, Υιέ του Θεού, ελέησον. Κύριε Ιησού Χριστέ, ελέησον. Κύριε Ιησού Χριστέ, Υιέ και Λόγοι του Θεού, ουσόν,
ελέησον. It's a monastery. It's okay. No, that's not. This is where they live, the small little rooms in where they are, these monks are alone with their God. Yeah. This is calling the, it's not the ding, 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 it's kirtan, no, it calls the monks for taking their meal. So, it's interesting, they start their new day when the sun sets, because they will pray throughout the whole night. What do you think when you see such a video? Yes? Nothing? The children all would think, yes, please.
Yes.
You can more or less see how other people live, more or less in God.
You can see how other people live and how they believe in God, yes?
God can be realized by devotion toward Him, not by being in a certain caste or group of people.
Mm-hmm. God can be realized by devotion. I think we saw they were very fixed in what they do. It's really, they do this. Two devotees went and visited them after seeing this video, or yes, we can say. And they were convinced to see they had such a schedule in the day that they were totally fixed on this, chanting this mantra. Really, that was their life. Mm-hmm. Someone else was there in the back? Yes?
Maybe we can send them a Bhagavad Gita so they can also get other knowledge about mantras.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You would like to send them something? Would you read what they would send you in return? It's a question to ask. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think we could send them a book, certainly. Very peaceful environment, I also thought that is there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think in our tradition we have a lot of emphasis how to also have a peaceful life by avoiding certain things which make the life so restless and agitated. When you want to chant, it's good that you leave your life in a way where you avoid certain deep mistakes. Here we have a little folio which describes the weeds in the heart which make you very agitated. That I go to the first weed which really makes the field of the heart full of agitation is nidshidacha, that is actions that are prohibited in the shastras and which must be strictly avoided by a person who wants to attain perfection. You cannot attain the proper spiritual atmosphere in your life, which is required to go deeply into the chanting, if you do all the time activities which are just not good, which are unspiritual. Therefore, Prabhupada or all the scriptures, not only Srila Prabhupada, have told us to avoid four sinful activities: eating of meat, having illicit relationships to the opposite sex, intoxication, and lying all the time. Lying. The second thing which one must avoid is diplomacy, kutinati, diplomacy and duplicity, like the propensity to find faults or to pretend to be an important devotee. This behavior never satisfies the body, nor the mind, nor the soul. Duplicity is not very good in spiritual life. It is very, very bad. Don't pretend, so to say. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur used to say, it is, if you are a human being who is full of pretense, who is not honest, who is a diplomatic liar, oh, it is better you would have been in a non-human form, because you will waste everything and ruin everything. The next thing is jiva hinsa, killing animals, but also envying other living entities. The fourth thing is labha, the desire for material gain. This is very much there in the human being, that whenever he does something, he wants to ask the question, what's in for me? In relationships, in things. The next is puja, striving for popularity and admiration, and pratishta, the desire to become an important person in the material world, and other material desires as well. So a devotee should see that these six weeds are gradually removed from within his heart. Remember, what we want to attain is a certain potency of our mind, and that is the power of attention. I have not really expressed it very clearly. If you want to avoid the wetness in your life, so that you cannot have the fire of Krishna consciousness, that means if you want to avoid the offenses, you have to start at one specific area which is possible to avoid. And that is, you have to learn to overcome inattention by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. It's a little complicated to say, to avoid all the 10 offenses, because the human being can only think of one thing very good. 3 things is still possible, but when you think of 7 or more about 7 things, you get lost. It's the memory faculty doesn't work in a way where you hold so many points. So therefore you can only work at 1 or 2 or 3 at a certain time. But if you want, with one activity, to avoid all the 10 offenses, you should go to this one thing, chant with attention your holy name. As long as you chant inattentively your holy name, you will be more or less forced, even if you say the offenses every day, one time when you are half awake in the morning, you will forget them in your life. This Hare Krishna movement is a movement which puts the Hare Krishna mantra, or the practice of the chanting of the holy name, at the most important spiritual activities in the foreground of all other activities. But it will only work if we can learn to avoid the offenses. And this will only be possible in a good way if we learn to become attentive while chanting. These things make you unattentive. When you do bad activities, when you are diplomatic, when you are envious towards others, when you want material gain, or you want to have popularity and you want to become important, If this is there, you will not be able to give your attention to the holy name. These things are just too strong. They will pull your power, to mental power, to be ekanta. Ekanta means fixed on only the holy name. They will pull it away. You stand no realistic chance. Therefore, a devotee who wants to become concentrated, like, you know, who wants to be in an environment similar to this one, a supportive environment, should think very much about his heart. What is going on there? What desires, what feelings are going on there? And he should try to uproot these different weeds. Now, I want to now ask you to please, for a little amount of for 5 or 7 concentrated minutes, to turn to your next door, your neighbor, and discuss to him, with him, what you find are your greatest difficulties in chanting with attention. What do you find is a difficulty? And then we will hear some of what you have said, what you have analyzed. Please start this little exercise now. Please be frank and free. I think your neighbor will understand you, because he might have similar difficulties. Please change roles after, I would say, 3 minutes or so. So first you listen to the person who talks, and then you change roles. Hare Krishna, Prabhus. Oh, Haribo. I'm sorry to be so rude to interrupt your discussions. May I hear some of a little feedback, please, from you? What did you think is the greatest difficulties in, or what keeps you from being attentive?
No taste.
No taste. Yes, no taste. Yes.
Something distracts you.
Something distracts you. Distraction. Yes.
Lack of desire.
Lack of desire. Yes.
While chanting, we make all kinds of plans in our mind.
Yes. For that, I really recommend, take a piece of paper, write it down, then it's done. It's on the paper. Yes, please.
Not seeing the importance of it.
I don't see the, or not seeing the importance of it.
Yes. Stop being too worried, and then when you're too worried, then you start chanting and you're still in the same mood, too preoccupied with your own thoughts.
Yeah, you're too worried and too preoccupied with your own thoughts. Yeah. Yes.
You forget it's a meditation.
I'm sorry?
You forget that it's a meditation.
You forget that it is a meditation. It's a very good point. Actually, it's very interesting. I want to just comment on something this. Actually, it's a, we say it, it's mantra meditation. And meditation in classical yoga comes after a certain step which you must have done. What is that step which allows you to go into meditation?
Concentration.
Yes. It is withdrawing the senses from external objects, and then concentrating them. Now, I was not ready really to talk about this. I thought, why talk about it? But
I would like to open your eyes to what is done in this tradition, which we saw in the video. They want to meditate on this mantra, and they do it in a certain way. Let us just hear it and find out if is there something in it we can learn, or some principle we can learn. What they do is they put all the thoughts into the mantra, and they visualize by this, by putting their concentration on this point between the eyes. Then they also use their lips and their tongue while speaking this mantra, so that they make sure that it's really there, and they concentrate here in this area of the mouth. Then they concentrate also their attention in the heart, so that they can offer all their feelings to the mantra. This is what helps in them in this tradition to be more concentrated. In our own tradition, we have other support systems, which I would like to show you. One should prepare to chant properly one day before. Next morning I will chant with full concentration and then go to bed. This is very, very good. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains that this is a method which a devotee keeps when he wants to fast Ekadasi, next Ekadasi. He puts this in his mind before he goes to sleep. Next day I will not eat. And then it's very easy for him to fast. If you don't need to write this down, because it might take some time. You can just purchase this very handy book, which will also relieve the anxiety in the preacher's treasury. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry to make such inopportune jokes. Or you can definitely also write it or make a photocopy, no problem. Second, start early next morning. Chant at a place free of distraction, either in the association of devotees or at a location which offers you a maximum amount of solitude. If the mind starts to flicker, calm it down by prayer or try some breathing exercises. Now this is something which I have put there on the basis of Hari Bhakti Vilas. Sanatana Goswami speaks especially when one does Gayatri Mantra. Before one does Gayatri Mantra, he recommends to do some breathing exercises. What I always do, because I can't, I do not wish to enter too deeply into this, I just deeply inhale and deeply exhale and immediately see the mind gets a little. But better is really than the breathing exercises, which is so physical, to calm it down by some prayer. The Shikshastakam prayers are very effective. Third, while you chant your rounds fluently without interruption. Sometimes when you see your mind is very disturbed or not there with the mantra, you might have to check with your wristwatch the times, that you keep the time properly, not that you are too fast or too slow. Then take care of a clear, distinct pronunciation of the holy names. Srila Prabhupada used to say we must use upper lip and lower lip and also the tongue. This is very much like this ancient practice which we have seen on the video, where they concentrate really on that area. Keep a straight, upright posture. I was very impressed today and also last time to see Varian sitting very upright. It is a fact that when your spine is straight, it's much easier to concentrate. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada encourages us by saying, sit properly. Then concentrate the mind on the sound vibration, enter the mind with your mind into the sound vibration. And then there are some tips of controlling the mind, which is basically only bringing it back from wherever it runs, and so on. And then there is a tip of chanting with full humility and tolerance and pridelessness. I'm sorry that in such a workshop, which tries to go a little deeper, I can't go as deep as I wish to go. This is a very helpful list, which devotees have, different devotees have put together. The first one from whom I heard about such a list was Satsvarup Maharaj, and then I took his list and put it a little bit, gave it some other thought and put it a little differently. I would like to discuss this list fully, but even if we discuss it, it's better that you do it. I have an idea. I have a very good idea, even the best idea. I make a photocopy of this and put it on the blackboard. Okay? So because if you would now get hung up in having to copy it down, then we couldn't go on, and we do have to end on time our little seminar. So this list is full of some practical tips about which support you're chanting, and also about it's full of the inner meaning, so on. So if you want to only read one page of this book, The Nectarian Ocean of the Holy Name, this is it, this page, then you are a very fast reader. Good. I wish to come now to the closure of our seminar. I wanted to play to you a little tape. This time it will, no loudspeakers will break, hopefully. It is one of my favorite tapes. It should be in there, so please. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram. I think when you hear this tape, it reminds us of a fully concentrated japa, which has also the right. Prabhupada sounds so concentrated, so devoted. It is a recording of the very, very early days of Krishna consciousness, where Srila Prabhupada sat with his devotees, or with the first devotees in the room, and requested them to all chant at once. I would like to do the following, that we take our japa mala and chant a little. We will not be able to chant a whole round because I want to give a little time for questions. But we will chant for fire. We will chant a little. Yeah? So please put it in the back. And please, in this chanting exercise, we will open the windows a little for the devotees. In this chanting exercise, let us try to chant with full concentration in the association, the saintly association of Vaishnavas. Down. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Rama Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, please excuse me again for interrupting you so rudely. I want to complete with you a little exercise which we have started. Please put in the next field, which is up here, the thoughts which come when you think of water. You have only 1.5 minutes time. What association comes when you think of water? Go to this field. It is the lower left field, and we will write down what is our favorite color. Is it red? Is it green? Is it a mixture between red and yellow? Come on. And then write, why do you like this color? What association do you have? What is the quality of this color? Someone who would write green, he would maybe write, oh, I like that it is so calming and so fresh and so forest-like. Mm-hmm. Okay, now the last part of it. Is write down the feelings which you have when you imagine yourself to be in a closed, white room. A closed, white room. What do you feel? How would you feel like it? White, yes. It's totally white. No window, closed. It's a... It's a closed, white room. It's just white, totally white, yes. Come, what is your question? You can ask me here. Hare Krishna. Now you will most probably ask yourself, what does these questions have to do with chanting Hare Krishna? I will tell you in a moment, but first I will tell you what these questions come to. It's a very personal and very deep thing, so I won't ask you to tell me what you have written, because you might be totally revealed in the public and no one will look at you again. When one asks the question, what is your favorite animal? What one really asks is the mind to associate how one feels towards or what type of person one would like to have as a friend, because the animal represents that other being, that neighbor or that partner, and so on. For instance, someone writes down. I won't tell you what my favorite animal is because I don't want to reveal myself in the public. But I've done it a few times, and I've heard the people who done this, my friends. The horse, when you write down the horse, and then the qualities. Say a person writes down, the horse is beautiful, the horse is temperamental, the horse is fast. Then that type of person who writes like this wants his friend, or the person he associates, or the partner, or even his wife or his husband, to be fast, temperamental, beautiful, with a strong mind. Please see if it is true on what you have written on your piece of paper, if you would like the people you are with to be like the have the qualities which you wrote down. I think you understand now that I do not request you to tell us what is your favorite animal. Let us go to water. I was asking you what are the associations which you have when you think of water. What I was really, water usually represents something which is flowing or sometimes stagnant. It represents very much the life. Whatever you wrote in the association which you have with water is usually the way you would like your life to be. For instance, someone has written about water, well, it's fluent, it passes the obstacles. Other people have written of water, well, sometimes it's it's ice. These people usually have a stagnant life, and so on. Is it true also in your case that the what you wrote down is what you would wish your life to be? Yes. Yes. Then the last thing is the color. Color usually represents the qualities one would like to see in oneself. When one writes, for instance, someone writes green. I must tell you, I have written green. I am a green, greenie. What do I associate with green? Peacefulness. My life is so intense because of constantly traveling and preaching, and I would like to have a peaceful life. The last point, what you feel in the feelings in your closed room, I request you to bring this to the next lecture. I will tell you in the next lecture because it has to do with our next lecture, this thing. You might now ask yourself the question, why did we have to make this exercise? Why were we asked to do this exercise? Let me tell you a reason. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that for most devotees who want to practice Krishna consciousness, it is important to be situated in the Vanashram. And why is this so? Well, in a healthy Vanashram situation, you are taken care of physically. There is physical health. There's emotional nourishment. There is a social network which keeps you, and there is therefore also the possibility to engage in spiritual life. A devotee who does not, now our movement does not have as of yet the Vanashram Dham system intact, and it might still take some time before it comes. Usually these things take a long time before they come. But in the absence of this, we shouldn't wait to situate ourselves properly so that we can live a healthy life, that we have emotional backup, we have nice relationships which give us a lot, that we also have something which stimulates our intelligence and which is very good for you know, our social situation. You have to take care of this, because unless and until you do so, your practice of spiritual life will not always bear the desired fruits, simply because you are too distracted. There's too much pain in your life, too much restlessness, and therefore you can't sit down and chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra with full enthusiasm. I'm not saying what a materialist would say, first take care of your material situation and then. No, but I'm thinking, I'm saying, please let us not avoid the sagacious advice of Bhaktivinoda Thakur to situate ourselves properly so that we can have the amount of peace which is necessary to go in a deep and dedicated spiritual practice. And by this little personal diagram which we have done, where you would find out who, what type of people you like to be with, how would you like your life to go on, and what qualities would you like to develop. By helping you a little bit to think about this, I wanted to just give you a little exercise, or a little eye-opener, where you might possibly situate yourselves in your lives, so that you, or what you can improve in your lives, so that you can have an ideal situation which will help you much more to engage in spiritual life. In other words, I didn't just want to give this seminar isolated from your life, because it is known that the problems in one's life filter also into the spiritual practice. And if we want a strong spiritual practice, we should not have as many problems in our lives. It's a very thought-provoking end. I do know this. It's a discussion which could take much more time, but we are already, yes, over time a little bit, and I want to close here because our guests who have come require this room for taking prasadam, and I want to request also the devotees in 1 minute to leave this room so that the guests can come. But before that, I want to thank you very, very much. I hope that this japa workshop has inspired you and given you some new perspectives. I'm sorry I was maybe a little aggressive with the music and so on, but I just wanted you to experience the different qualities of sounds so that your chanting, you make a vow to make your chanting very good. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Naam Tattva ki jai. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Another thing, if you would like to look at this book and most and properly maybe also take it, Shishtikata has 4 more books. We have not so many any longer. Hare Krishna.